For those who do not know, this is a Bible and this is a dictionary. Here we find definitions. Here we find the story of faith in the Word of God. The Bible never defines anything. It paints pictures. It tells us how God interacted with the people of God. To say that it defines certain things certain ways is just not what it's intended to do. And to say that it does is not accurate. Secondly, in Jude, that story where Patrick points out that they went after strange flesh, that actually means that they were committing bestiality against God by having sex with angels. And it wasn't the men, it was the women. Because there were giants that were born of those unions. And it also happened in other places, because God shows that in the early parts of the Bible. So let's go on. We know that Patrick is going to claim that the Bible allows only one type of marriage, a man and a woman. But we also know that that's not true. There are examples, but there is not a definition. Again, the Bible's not a dictionary. Never was designed to be one. It is a story of faith. So we've got to take the Bible for what it is, not try to make it what we want it to be. To do anything else is, again, false teaching and heresy. We also know this. Sodom and Gomorrah were not destroyed because of homosexuality. Now, they may have been loose, but the angels, the people of Sodom and the men of Sodom weren't all at a tea dance and thinking that the angels looked hot and say, hey, come on, let's go do whatever. That's not what happened. It was rape. There is not a legitimate scholar today that would claim anything else was going to happen. It was only rape. Secondly, it requires an intentional misleading of people to teach that it is about homosexuality, because the Old Testament never speaks of lesbianism. In fact, the Sanhedrin said that lesbianism was perfectly acceptable according to the law. Thirdly, it requires saying that other parts of the Bible lie when they indicate there are other reasons. Did they go after strange flesh? Yeah. But that's not about having men having sex with men. That's about going after a different species. A totally different species. That's sort of like Luke Skywalker going after Chewbacca. So then let's look at what Leviticus actually says, since he points that out. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, is what Leviticus 18:22 says. I love that passage because they always forget about this picture that showed up this week on the internet. Tattoo of Leviticus 18:22, forbidding homosexuality, $200, not knowing that Leviticus 19:28 forbids tattoos. Priceless. The reality is that the law is very different than we've often made it to be. And of course, Leviticus, the 20th chapter and 13th verse, from our friends in the wilderness, it says that a man shall not lie with a man. We all know that. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. Leviticus, the 18th chapter and 3rd verse reads, after the doing of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whether I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Now that's a very peculiar way of understanding what we now know. We have a few problems, folks. First, these passages are related to idolatry and temple prostitution of the people in Canaan's land. Secondly, the passages are binding only on Israel in the land of Israel. Leviticus 18:3 and Leviticus 20:23-24 make that abundantly clear. Remember, not chapter and verse, paragraph form is how God wrote. There are other parts of the law not in these passages that confirm that other parts of the law, other things in these passages are binding for all time at times, and at other times, only for a period of time. Remember, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. There are other parts of the law that show up in other places. And too often we sit here and we think that Leviticus is the only thing. The real title of the book of Leviticus is Instructions to Priests. It wasn't even addressed to everybody in Israel. But it was taught to them so that they would understand how to keep the people of Israel holy inside the land of Israel. The interesting thing is all of Leviticus is not binding outside. Sometimes Leviticus is binding everywhere, but sometimes it is binding only in the promised land. So we need to remember that. Some of these laws did not even pertain to the Israelites until they entered the promised land. We also have a couple other problems. The law's other parts are also, at times, not forever, but bound by, at times by time, place, even person. To be told to do something by God means it is a law for you, and it is part of the total law. Just because there's a particular law. Remember, in the state of Tennessee, there is a code called the law, the state code or state law of the state of Tennessee, but it is made up of hundreds of laws that may or may not make sense to you. And some are binding in some counties, and some are binding in some cities, and some are binding on some people. And too often we've forgotten to read the law for what it is. Thirdly, to equate this part of Leviticus to be always binding, even in ancient times, requires a false teaching on what God was communicating to the Israelites. Rabbi Jacob Milgram, a leading Jewish biblical scholar and conservative rabbi, notice I said conservative. That does not mean he thinks that being gay or lesbian is okay. So read what he says here. He says in his book Leviticus, titled after the book, he states that this does not bind outside of the promised land for anyone except for Israelite men. And possibly it is only binding when they are engaged in sex with their family members, because that's what the other sexual acts are in this passage. His work also appears, by the way, in the Conservative Anchor Bible, if you wish to read some of it. He does the entire commentary on the book of Leviticus for that Bible. The laws they say are binding were ones that appear in other parts of the law. Did you notice that Leviticus also doesn't include in this passage the Ten Commandments? That appears elsewhere. There are other parts of the law, but it is all one law that we're to keep. Remember, Jesus said in the gospel that he did not come to do away with the law, but he came to complete the law. He came to complete the law. So let's look at some grammar. We love Romans, the first chapter, don't we? You know, men had sex with men. I'm not so sure that he's accurate about women having sex with women. But notice that the beginning of this passage starts with "for this reason." So whatever happens in this passage, including, by the way, what happens below it in the rest of Romans, the first chapter, is actually a result of what happened before. Now, are these sins in and of themselves? Sometimes, yes, they probably are. Sometimes they may not be. I don't know the answer, but they are not a. These are in fact a punishment for what happened before. For this reason is the beginning. If we think that this doesn't matter, we believe that God could not win at the game show, are you smarter than a fifth grader? So do we really believe God would fail eighth grade English? Romans, the first chapter and 24th and 25th verses, again, starts with the word therefore. There's some stuff that happens there. Notice it says, God gave them up in their lust of their hearts to impurity, to the degrading of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. They're committing idolatry. We're not finished yet. Over in the 21st verse, notice I'm going backwards. I'm not going forwards. I'm doing that on purpose. Because too many times we look at the Bible and we act like it isn't going to make sense because we don't read it with how God wrote it. We read it without understanding that if God can create all of the universe, He can use perfectly good English grammar and Hebrew grammar and Greek grammar. And to act like He can't is to defame His character and His ability. Because if He can't use good grammar, He obviously can't create the world. So for though they knew God, again, that's a connector. It's because of something else that's going on above, right? Claiming to be wise, they became fools and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. Idolatry. So let's look at the beginning then, Romans the first chapter and 18th verse through the 20th verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. You've got to be trying to suppress the truth rather than find it. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, His eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things He has made. So they are without excuse. In other words, they knew Him and they denied Him. They were able to worship Him, but they went away from Him. That's exactly what's happening. The ultimate sin here is not the fact that someone is gay or lesbian or even a straight person having sex with a person of the same gender. Those are a result of their denying who God is, refusing to honor God for who He is. And to understand it any other way is to not understand basic grammar. And to say God doesn't understand basic grammar. Let's look at it in the message. Worse followed. Refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women didn't know how to be women. Men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused. Whoa! I want you to pay attention. And defiled one another. Women with women, men with men. All lust, no love. And then they paid for it. Oh, how they paid for it. Emptied of God and love. Godless and loveless wretches. If you only are worried about lust, you can't love anybody. If all you can do is worry about your next, who am I going to do, rather than say, I do, too. All you can do is sin. But it's because you dishonored your Creator, not because you're gay, not because of who you're having sex with. It's because you ain't worshiping the one who made you. Some problems here. First, grammar indicates that verses 26 and 27 are the result of another sin, not the basic sin itself. It also indicates that the individuals changed their previous behavior because they exchanged. That means that if I am a man and I've been straight, when I started worshiping an idol, all of a sudden I quit having sex with my wife and started having sex with somebody else that happened to be a man. It means that I used to be something that I ain't acting like anymore. Too often we've forgotten to read the basic grammar of English, much less Hebrew and Greek. It indicates also that the abusive relationships are here. Nothing is mutually loving and supportive. This interpretation to say that this is a sin in this passage requires an intentional misreading and use of the actual words and intent of the Bible, and thus is a false teaching on the character of God and the nature of His Word. 1 Corinthians 6:9. I'm not going to read the whole verse because my throat's getting all stopped up. Nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, going on over to 1 Timothy, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, are sodomites. So that sounds real big, doesn't it? The problem is that as we all know, the word malakoi, it appears mostly in the lists of sins in Scripture that do not give you anything definitive of what it actually means to otherwise than to bear, and to claim otherwise is to bear false witness in Scripture. It is best translated as male prostitute. In fact, that is what the New American Standard. That's what my Bible, the NRSV, that I preach from, and some others, translated as Philo of Alexandria, who was born before Jesus and died after Jesus, specifically uses this as a reference to male temple prostitution. Who better to get our understanding from than someone living then, rather than people who do not have the colloquial understanding of the word in that day and age? To say this is the passive partner in all same-gender sexual activity is a false teaching on the intentions and laws of God, in addition to bearing false witness against God. Arsenikitai appears also mostly in the lists of sin. And to claim that you understand what it means by what the Scripture says right there is to claim what it means, and to claim otherwise, it means that you, to say that you understand what it means based off of that one passage, is to claim that is to bear false witness against God. John the Faster indicates that men could do this to a woman. If I can do it, Patrick, if you can do it to your wife, that means it can't be a gay thing. If any one of you men can do it to your wife, it can't be a gay thing. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what sexual act it is. But if you can do it to your wife and you're a man, it ain't gay. Amen? In fact, he asks about specific things when he's talking to the person seeking repentance, when he comes to him about male-to-male sexual activity. So if that isn't what's mentioned in it, you can do it with your wife, it ain't gay. And to claim otherwise is to bear false witness against the word of God. The Apology of Aristides relates this word, arsenikitai, to rape, specifically using root Zeus raping Ganymede. If it's a man raping another person, that's rape. That's not same-sex tipulot. In restitution of all heresies, this happened to Adam. To say this is always the active partner in all same-gender activity bears false witness against God. There are other times that these things can be used, but let me tell you the words that show up over in other parts of the words of God. Let's go over to, there are common words in the Koine Greek that Paul would have had to been able to use to define the people engaged in same-sex loving committed relationships. There are several here, and if you look, go on over to, it's up several, I'm sorry, I'm jumping for you. There's pederasti, and then, but the one I want to focus on is Erastes and Eromenes. They're a bonded male couple. Notice the root in romantic love. It was common in the day of Paul. It was common over 700 years before Paul was born. It was common before the New Testament. The Sacred Band of Thebes, court cases in Greek show that the convention did not allow a free man to sell his sexual favors, and that this not only wasn't forbidden, but it was normative. God is a God of order and plain speaking. God means what he says and says what he means. To say otherwise is to accuse God of misleading people. If there were words that could have been used to speak plainly and directly to them, he would have used them. To ignore the larger context of the writing is to commit a grave sin, because it reveals both what was meant and what was not meant. God is a God of order and inclusion. There are over 12,143 English words in the King James Version Bible. Actually, I think that's accurate, the exact number. But there are over a million English words. We all use words that do not appear in our Bibles every day. To assume that we would, that every word that we should use is only in our Bible, we would be very, very crazy. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and 33rd verse says, "For God is not the God of is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." God means what he says and says what he means. To say that he didn't use these words, but then he held on, denies what he's trying to say. today, my prayer is that Patrick would repent of his sin.